Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wesley Clark with Lifestyle by Design podcast, episode 39, Retire Inspired, the Single Woman's Guide to a Thriving Future. Now, it probably perked the curiosity of a lot of women out there, especially retired ones. And what brought on this episode is an article that appeared in the Saturday edition of the Wall Street Journal, titled, Here's What Retirement Looks Like for Single Women in America. So the challenges that single women in America who are retired face are obviously the risk of running out of money. And according to the article, the risk of running out of money in retirement rises for those with lower pay, lower lives, or no partner. Millions of single women wrestle with all three. They said that women earn less than men on average during their working years and are more than twice as likely as men to leave the workforce for more than 1 year to care for children or aging grandparents, or parents, I should say, not grandparents, according to a survey of 5,261 Americans that Goldman Sachs plans to release the study on Monday today. This shortfall compounds in retirement. Social Security checks are 20% smaller for women who first claim at 62 to 64 years of age compared to men of the same age. Single women in particular have smaller 401k and IRA nest eggs. On average, single women between ages 55 to 64, about 88,600 in retirement savings compared with 136,685 for single men and 423,800 for married couples in the same age group, according to Boston College's Center for Retirement Research. They go on to state that women also tend to live longer, raising the projected total cost of retirement as they have to stretch their smaller savings over even more years. And that despite these financial obstacles, single women find ways to pursue new ambitions in retirement, including launching businesses and traveling the world. They could have more time if their caregiving responsibilities have ended. With more freedom than many of their married counterparts, some women can make big changes without needing to compromise or negotiate. And so they spoke with four single women who have retired, and have some of them have sizable nest eggs, some don't. Others are relying on Social Security benefits or earnings from part-time gigs. And each are finding ways to define retirement for themselves. And so that's thus the Lifestyle by Design, in this case, for retired women or women who will be retiring. It's great for you to listen to this, or even men. I mean, a lot of this stuff you can relate with. And being a financial advisor for 30 years and, God willing, another 10 to 15 years, a lot of what we'll talk about today will resonate with many of you as it does with me, because I'm doing it on a day-in, day-out basis with men, women, business owners, employees, what have you. So as the article was stating, you know, there's retirement challenges for single women. And there's that, we talked about the financial disparities, the longer life expectancies, and, you know, what type of support system have they created for themselves? So it's important, first off, and you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record. Of course, I'm in the financial services industry, but financial planning is very important, but also being able to adapt to change as the need arises. So there was one of the interviewees, Deb Hallisey, her story about saving, investing, the career changes, personal challenges. So here she is, Deb Hallisey, who's a single woman who approached retirement with foresight and adaptability. So what you have is a propensity for many people just to kick the can down the road and not really deal with retirement. It's not some kumbaya type situation. And especially for women who either by choice through divorce or not choice through divorce, or through death of their spouse, end up being retired and single, and they're facing challenges that married couples most likely don't face, obviously different types of things. So she, meaning Deb, had a proactive savings and consulting career before facing personal challenges, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But one of the things I want to stress for you guys, and I know I've stressed it in the past, is have a emergency savings plan, first off, 3 to 6 months worth of your income, especially if you're single. I mean, regardless, you should regardless, whether a couple or not, 3 to 6 months worth of emergency savings. Because if you end up losing your job, if you become disabled, it's not as a result of work-related, where will that income come from? And how will you make up for it? If you're living paycheck to paycheck, hurts on its way, and more than just the disability you might have incurred or the psychological impact from losing your job. So one of the things we talked about is financial planning and starting early. Be diligent in saving that emergency savings and saving for retirement. And they cite her strategy, and she sought financial advice through a financial advisor. But the thing is what she's doing, or did, at least what I could gather from the article, she sought a financial advisor for the sole intent and purposes of being able to be self-reliant in retirement. She's looking for advice, but she realizes that she's not going to get married, and we'll go more on the reasons why that, but she's single, she's going to be single, so she wants to be self-reliant. I mean, obviously, who doesn't want to be? Whether you're a single man or woman who's retired, either, like I said, by choice, not choice, or by death of spouse, you don't want to get remarried. You might have other responsibilities, which in her case, she did. So here in the case of Deb's situation is the pivotal moment for her was her father's death. And she had to assist her visually impaired mother, and that impacted her career. And we see that, and I've seen that in the case of some of my clients in my 30 years, where the spouse of their parents or father passes on. The mother might have some cognitive disabilities, or in this case, vision impairment, or what have you. And the son or daughter has to take up the bat, so to speak, and help. And so in this case, Deb had a setback because she was not able to consult. She lost billable hours and eventually lost her job. So you can either get stuck, you could get frozen, you can say, oh, poor me, and that's natural. But in Deb's case, she was adaptable. She took action, and she redirected her career path to become a caregiver, not only just for her mother, but also from being a consultant, or transforming, I should say, from being a consultant to a caregiving advocate, author, and speaker. So she turned things around. And she has a genuine interest in this. So she talks about, or I should say in the article, talks about how she detailed her financial situation, how she managed her savings, her investments to navigate this early retirement that she wasn't really planning on. But she's still working, if you get what I'm saying. And I mentioned about the emergency fund. She was careful in her withdrawal from her retirement savings. She discussed how she plans to use Social Security benefits for living expenses. And so her aim is to reserve her IRA for emergencies and future caregiving expenses for herself. And she did something that I would encourage each of you, if you have a mother, a father, both, or anybody that you're a potential caregiver for, to get a financial durable power of attorney. Because that gives her the ability to manage her, in this case, mother's financial affairs. before she becomes, suffer from dementia or any other issues. And that's the same thing for myself. I was given the financial durable power of attorney for my father, for my grandfather. So when they passed on, I was able to take care of the expenses, take care of all the financial issues, make sure everything was paid, they were taken care of. And then when they passed on, I'm able to take care, be sure to have your estate planning, be appointed the executor or executrix. Have a living will. Do they want to be on life support? Do they not? These are issues that if you don't have it in place, you've got to make those decisions. And do you really want to be in that position to make that decision? So what the article goes on to say, that was Deb's story, is a lot of the women are pursuing new ambitions because they find that when they're not married, they have potentially more freedom than their married counterparts. So they might launch businesses, they might travel, they might volunteer. But like I've said before in my survey, I think episode 37, which is the most popular one, or episode 2, or some of the other ones, if you're going to retire, well, regardless of whether or not, but if you're going to retire, especially you men and women, be sure you have a purpose. Because the last thing you want to do is you don't want to retire, do your 3 to 6 months worth honey-do list, and then sit and wait to die. And I'm not trying to be morbid or anything. I'm just trying to be real with you. Because this is this thing that I see more men than women doing. And it's just have a purpose. So because you're going to be bored. And that's why these ladies, in this case, the article talks on about launching businesses, or they're doing traveling, or they're volunteering. There are so many people needing help out there these days. Get involved. If you belong to your church, the shut-ins, go visit the shut-ins. If you're Catholic, maybe you go and you participate and provide delivering communion to the shut-ins. In the article of Wall Street Journal, they talk about Marianne Simpson's story, where she gradually transitioned to retirement. She moved closer to her family. And why would she do that? Because if she's moving closer to her family, a son and daughter or both or whatever, in a certain area, then when it comes time for her to retire, and if she starts to have some need for assistance from her kids, they're not at one part of the country and she's at another part. So we're seeing this type of thing take place. I've had clients do that personally, where they were living in one place, kids were living either in another state or up at the other side of the state, and so they move closer. And she also found a new sense of purpose through volunteering. So I want to stress on that. Senior center, get involved, volunteer. There's so many opportunities, and people value your assistance. And there's something about giving rather than always receiving. It seems like in society today, we're so much concerned about receiving rather than giving. They talk about creative living and travel, where some women have broken the traditional retirement mode. They talk about Stephanie Perry, who embraced the FIRE movement. You'll have to check that out, do a Google, to retire early and travel the world, if you have the income, right? That's the one thing. And there's something to be said about this nomadic lifestyle that the Wall Street Journal article discusses. There's benefits, but there's also challenges because you're, to travel the world and go from one place to another. Obviously, you're going to want to go to the countries where it's not really expensive to live, but you can go from place to place to place. But it involves financial management. Obviously, that's a very key component. And also, whenever you take that nomadic lifestyle, I want to go live in Mexico. I want to go to Brazil, or I want to go to Belize, or wherever I want to go, you need to find community and the pursuit of passion projects, as they state. But community engagement and support is very important. And it's part of, like I said earlier, engaging in volunteer work. And you create those meaningful relationships in retirement, because otherwise you're going to be lonely. That's why getting involved in a senior center is so is important, or involved at your local church or synagogue or mosque or what have you. Becoming involved. Get involved with the kids. There's probably plenty of latchkey kids out there that need support from individuals, that women that, in this case, we're talking about this article, that are retired, that can offer a nurturing relationship to somebody who just wants somebody to listen to them, maybe give them some sage advice. The article goes on also to talk about preparing for the future. It addresses the importance of preparing for long-term healthcare needs, long-term care insurance. I mean, nobody likes to really think about that, but the statistics are pretty alarming. Having that area covered, though, like I said, nobody really wants to talk about it, right? So just to recap, what we need to do here is consider, what is your retirement strategy? Do you have one in place? If not, why not? Are you adaptable? Are you able to go and change direction? Doesn't mean you should. It just means, do you have that ability to do that? Do you have a community in which you can be part of and build relationships and help one another? That's the other thing, too. It's a lonely situation. Some people have lost their spouses, and they need to be able to talk to somebody and pursue their own personal passions. Maybe it's taking up, you know, I hear some people where whatever their passion is it reading? Is it writing? Is it painting? Is it gardening? Whatever. Find like-minded individuals. But you need to be resilient. You need to be creative in this thought process. And so, like I said, focus on your retirement plan, what your purpose will be, what your support systems could be, what your community will be, so that you will have a fulfilling retirement when you actually do retire. Now, I invite all of you to email me, share your own stories or questions about retirement planning, especially single women preparing for or navigating retirement. Email me at wes@wesleyclark.global, wes@wesleyclark.global. And I can do a follow-up episode, or at least in one of my other podcasts, talk about other listeners' stories, their advice, because I'd really like to get your input. I mean, obviously, I've did this survey, which was very enlightening, in episode 37. And lastly, episode 38, best version of yourself. This is something that I'll close with here. If you listen to episode 38, look at it this way. When you retire, of any time in your life, especially as a single woman, or if there's a single gentleman listening, or married, what have you. But retirement gives you the perfect opportunity to start to become the best version of yourself. Nothing hampers you from doing so. That's in the area of health. That's in the area of financial. That's in the area of mental. And that's in the area of spiritual. Most people would say, I don't have any time. I don't have time. Well, what I found with people who are retired is they have time. I would say, I'll say that there are some people would say they don't have time because they live busy lives. They have purposes in their lives. They have that community. They have the volunteer work or a passion, gardening, sewing, knitting, whatever the case. So without further ado, you have a wonderful week ahead. Take care and God bless. Appreciate you guys.